Marketing Support Network is proud to serve the nonprofit community by offering full-service contact center, fulfillment, digital marketing, and fundraising services. Your vision is our mission, and we can't wait to partner with you. Visit marketingsupportnetwork.com for more information.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Nonprofit Hub podcast. I'm your host, Megan Spear, and I'm so excited to be with you all again this week. And joining me is someone that I've had the privilege to work with for a number of years now in various capacities. Derek Scott is joining us, and Derek owns an agency called Creator. And we are going to dig into the evergreen topic that has been on everyone's mind. Is direct mail dead? Is it still a viable option? We're going to talk all things direct mail and specifically how we can make direct mail work for us here in 2024. So Derek, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here.
Thanks, Megan. It's great to be with you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you and I have talked a little bit about this previously. I feel like here we are in 2024, right? There's so many digital options. My personal mailbox is full of all sorts of things that I don't pay any attention to. So is direct mail something that we even should be talking about? Are we on the right track to even have this conversation at this point?
Yes, that's it. I would for sure. I mean, there is definitely a million ways to do direct mail wrong. And I would say if there's something sitting in your mailbox that's not grabbing your attention, then it's not done. It's not done right. So I would say that poor direct mail should be dead, but there's a way to do direct mail in a way that's engaging, personal, and that is going to get people to open it and can get them to respond. So, and we know too that a lot of people, I mean, last study I saw that over half the people who get a direct mail piece go online to give. So it's for sure a viable option. It's just, it has to be done well and has to be done right. Otherwise, you just waste the money. So
yeah.
Yes. Short answer. Yes, for sure.
Okay, good. So now that there is actually a purpose for this podcast and we have agreed that it does matter, let's talk about some of those pitfalls. So is direct mail something at this point that you find works really well for a specific demographic, like a specific generation, age group, or is it still kind of across the board?
It's still across the board. I mean, you know, older folks are used to mail. I mean, they're, you know, folks, I guess, you know, 60, 70 older, they've written letters, you know, they corresponded through the mail. And that actually was a form of communication back and forth with folks, you know, way back in the day. Even I had a pen pal back in college. So folks maybe over 40 are used to like maybe writing letters and such. But, you know, for millennials and Gen Z, like mail is not, you know, physical mail is not a part of their life. So direct mail is a novelty to them. And so we know that just from studies that especially if they give to an organization, that person, regardless of their age, they want to hear from the organization and they will be interested in the mail they get from them. So yes, it works for all demographics. You definitely have to speak to people differently, not so much based on their age, but just their engagement with the organization. You also have to keep in mind kind of what's your goal. You know, if you're trying to raise a lot of money for some, you know, massive project, you're probably not going to get there with just a postcard. You got to have a different tact than that. So, yes, demographics, it's more a matter, like I said, of their relationship with the organization more so than their age or, gender, whatever it may be.
Okay. I think, and we've had even folks on this podcast doing a lot of discussion around the importance of segmentation, specifically when it comes to email and making sure that your email lists are super targeted. Is that something people need to be considering with direct mail too? Or is this a blast your whole list every time you do it, same message to everybody kind of approach?
Yeah, no, definitely you want to segment as much as you can. I mean, I know a lot of organizations are limited in how much they can segment. Budgets are always a concern in terms of how many folks you can mail to. So you do want to be super strategic who you're mailing to. There is paper does cost money, postage continues to increase. So there is a definite hard cost to not only, I mean, soft costs to, you know, on the strategy and the writing and the design and all that kind of stuff. And then just the cost of paper and using a print shop and mail shops and stuff like that. So there is a definite cost to all that. But, you know, at the very least, I would segment out monthly donors. Like if we're talking, you know, I would say that if if a donor who gives regularly doesn't think you know that they give regularly, it's just going to alienate them, and it's just not going to feel very good. So I would say at the very least, if you can segment and version your messaging to a monthly donor, your monthly donors, monthly givers, or more regular givers, it's just going to help that relationship. Otherwise, I mean, you can segment a list 100 ways and talk to each segment, you know, specifically. Starts to take up a lot of time, and it just costs more money the more you segment and the more you version your communication. Kind of my school of thought, and kind of how I was brought up in the direct mail world, is you do treat people who give cumulatively $100 or more, or have given that much over the last year to year and a half, you treat them a little bit differently in the messaging and in the packaging than somebody who gives under $100. Just, you need to do something that's more economical for folks below that threshold, because you know your ROI is not going to be there if you have a highly personal package that's super expensive. Sure. And you just know they're not that engaged, not paying that much attention to you anyways. You're going to waste your money on that segment. So, you know, so I would say, first of all, monthly donors for sure. And then if you can segment above and below that $100 cumulative giving threshold, it's just going to help your ROI.
And from that perspective, especially let's focus on that under $100 gift, right? That, yep. That demographic, mm-hmm. for a second. Mm-hmm. Are there rules that we should be following in terms of frequency, in terms of how, you know, mm-hmm. how often, if they don't have, if they aren't maybe as committed or as engaged or giving mm-hmm. as much, mm-hmm. what does that look like? And I'll tell you why I ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The company that I work for did a case study a couple, like probably 8 or 9 years ago at this point, giving to organizations to track what happened on the back end, specifically mm-hmm. around social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave, there's one specific organization that I will not call out on this podcast, but yeah. I gave them $10 in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Right? $10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still get mail from them at least twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
That, so we're talking about 9 years
mm-hmm.
where they have mm-hmm. sent me so many mailers. All mm-hmm. of them, and like there is nothing in any of them that has intrigued me enough to go back and give yeah. to them again. And yep. I just keep thinking, like, you spent my $10
years ago,
you know, 10,000 yeah. mailings ago at this point.
Yeah, right.
And yeah. it doesn't make me feel real good about your mm-hmm. ability to like steward your money and your resources wisely. Mm-hmm. So what yeah. does that frequency look like to be able to hit people enough,
mm-hmm.
but not make them second guess whether or not we should even give them yeah. money because they're not financially right. sound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's definitely like, you know, it's not good. I mean, it's not good stewardship on part yeah. of that organization, because, and that's when you got to get really strategic with your segmentation. Then you got to figure out, you know, so you can start tracking income for these folks. If they knew you better, if they knew your donor record better,
yeah.
they would know that you have not given in a long time, and it's probably not worth giving to you and folks like you. If you know, you gave a $10 donation, until you gave a third time, most like until you gave three times, I wouldn't say that. And then, again, I am repeating a lot of stuff I learned from my first boss, the guy that like taught me almost everything I know. But until yeah. you have that third donation, you really don't have a donor. If you don't have a second donation within 6 months, you're probably never going to get them. So if they saw that you weren't giving in the next 6 months, they probably should have just stopped mailing you. Maybe they could have at some point done some kind of lapsed donor campaign, picked a really compelling offer, and, you know, then mailed you and others like you and tried to re-engage you, try to reactivate you. Yeah. But 9 years later, mailing to a $10 donor, I mean, twice a month is a lot for any organization, but 24 times, I mean,
it's so much.
That's a
so
lot. That's mail. 100. That's so much mail. So that's a huge miss for sure.
And for the record, I'm just going to go on the record here. I have tried 7 different times in the course of these years to get myself off of this mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
I have called, I have emailed, I have requested multiple yeah. times to be removed, because it is just a waste. I'm not yeah. going to support their mission. It's not something I'm passionate about. Yeah. And yet,
it erodes trust because if your data is not clean, if you're, it seems silly. I mean, these people that you're mailing to over and over, they're still people. I mean, that's what I think that, and we talk about like mistakes people make in direct mail. You got to remember that this is still a relationship, and it's just, and data is a huge part of maintaining that relationship and keeping it healthy. And I just think a lot of people either don't see the importance, maybe don't have the resource for it. But it can be such a huge waste of money when you basically feel spammed. So it's just that's not a good thing.
It's interesting. And if you are someone who listens to the podcast regularly, you will know that this is now the third conversation in the last 2 months, maybe, where we have talked about the importance of knowing who your donors are and listening to, like, looking at that data to say, why did she give $10 in the first place? Was it through, was it online? And maybe we should just move her to email. Was it from an event? Was it from a peer-to-peer campaign? Noticing those pieces and listening to actually understand your donors as individuals. This is now the third conversation. So if there is any takeaway at this point, it is the importance in 2024 of understanding your data.
And I'm a creative guy, and I don't deal in the minutiae of data, but I still know I have to know who I'm talking to craft the right, the right message and the right version of that message. So super, so important.
Okay, so good segue, because on the creative side, let's say that somebody who is listening today has been tasked with creating their next direct mail piece for their organization.
Yeah.
What are some tips that you would give somebody? What are the questions that you ask to make sure that you are doing a piece that catches people's attention? What are some things that they need to think about in that process to be successful with direct mail?
Yep. So, depending on their experience with direct mail, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they think of direct mail, they think of postcards, they think of really, I guess generic, but I mean, just looks like it's just not that engaging, and it's very high, maybe really highly designed, super flashy. I mean, crazy boring. I mean, but there are so many good ways using a closed face number 10 envelope with a letter and reply card inside it. It's highly personal. So there's plenty of packaging the world of packaging is huge. But so let's just say you're tasked with doing a direct mail piece. A ton of my career I've spent, training folks and coaching writers that I've worked with. And, direct mail is a form of persuasion, and as such, you have to adhere to the Aristotle's model of persuasion, like we learned in high school. So I would say at the highest level, of course, you also have to keep in mind the voice of your brand and all that kind of good stuff. But in terms of crafting an argument for your letter, for your direct mail piece, you do need to make sure that your argument is logical. So the logos, you got to make sure it's believable. So the ethos, like, is what I'm asking for believable? And am I giving reason, but good, good support for what I'm asking. And then the most important piece, but at the same time is the most abused piece is the pathos piece. So the emotional, what am I going to do to stir someone's emotions? We know that people feel 0.8 seconds before they think. So at the end of the day, our heart drives the bus. Again, the guy that trained me up Rick Dunham, who you and I both know, says that, giving is an act of the head, or I'm sorry, giving is an act of the heart informed by the head. So at the end of the day, what is that emotional lever, if you will, that we're going to pull? Most people use urgency. The sky is always falling. And it tends to, and also this differs, the Aristotle's model of persuasion we know is different based on the culture. So I've worked in the American culture, the British culture, and the Australian culture, and those three cultures place different emphasis on those three pieces. But at the end of the day, the emotional piece is going to be what actually causes them to, take out their credit card, jump online, or write a check, whatever the case may be. And, there's plenty of ways to generate emotion. Sometimes you do need to use urgency because the situation is truly urgent. Sometimes it's, we're just going to tell a story and we're going to let the story be kind of the emotional driver. And I want to give, because I want to make stories like that continue to happen. Or maybe it's, Gosh, there's so many ways to do that, but I would say that there has typically, and when people think of bad direct mail, that's usually bad because they have over relied on the pathos piece. They have just used this, or they are just not that organization that, they're just, for whatever reason, they're not great at managing their finances, and they only send mail out when there actually is an emergency. Otherwise, they think they don't want to hear from us because people, there's this misnomer that people don't want to hear from organizations they give to, which is not true. But so they only go out when there is a true emergency. And it's just, you burn through donors that way. You kind of have to, you spend a lot of money acquiring, because most everybody you're bringing in the front door is eventually quickly going out the back door. So,
Well, it's literally what we just talked about, right? If somebody has been mailing me for 9 years, I don't, that to me starts to come off as fiscally irresponsible. And I'm not going to support your mission. And so, if all I am receiving from you is this urgent call, the sky is falling, the need is critical, like all of these things, then I just sit here and go, "But what did you do with the last $100 I gave you? What is?" And yeah, so I think to your point, there is definitely a line that has to be kind of walked in that regard, because sometimes the need is urgent, but when it is always, if everything is urgent, then nothing is urgent. And you're just really bad at managing your money, and that's not the impression we want to give.
So totally. I mean, in addition to the, you're making sure that, it's logical, believable, and that you have the emotional driver that you need to. I mean, there's a lot of other things to take into account. Direct mail should not exist in on its own. You need to it needs to work in concert with your other communication channels. So in terms of, okay, so how is this piece? Because, as donors, we can consume content from an organization through all any channel that they're out on. So it's like, I can get a letter, but I also might jump online and look at their website. I might get on their social. I might, so all of the channels need to be talking to each other. So it just is, it's never just direct mail. So you got to really make sure, be strategic, and okay, if they get this letter and they just go to our website, are they going to see the same thing? Is it going to look cohesive, or is it going to feel schizophrenic? If it feel, you know, if it feels schizophrenic, that just erodes trust. So that's going to impact response as well.
I
There's
have
a ton,
definitely seen that before, where I got a letter. Asked a very specific ask for a very specific dollar amount to do a very specific task, and I went to the donor page listed in the direct mail piece, and that ask was, or the specific ask wasn't even one of the pre-filled like giving amounts. It had no consistency. It was like, wait, do you really need that? Did I miss the campaign? What's happening? And it just causes too many questions.
And even if you don't, even if it's not a trust, erodes trust, it's just confusing. And if you cause a donor to think too hard, we're all like that. If we have to spot, if we have
I
to
don't have
pause
time for
to
that.
think, I don't have time, or I'm just gonna, like, I'm thinking about it and something else gets my attention and I jump to that. So it is as important as, like, is it logical? Is it believable? Blah, blah, blah. It's also got to be very simple. It's got to be, like I like to say, it's got to be idiot proof. So, there's so much science that goes into a good direct mail piece. I mean, there's the art is there and it's got to be there, but this, I just think that there, people don't realize how much science goes into, and how much psychology, like how much psychology, you just have to understand how people behave. Also, like, specifically how they consume direct mail, because it's just a different, it's its own thing. It's not, we know how people tend to consume direct mail, and you have to craft your letter and you have to craft the package to make sure that it adheres to that. Otherwise, it's not going to perform, and then you're going to say direct mail doesn't work because you just didn't do it right,
So I love all of those tips. I want to circle back to something that we had talked about previously, but maybe from a different side, because you had mentioned, we kind of talked about what it would look like it for something that, somebody who hasn't given at that particular threshold. But when it is something who is somebody who's a monthly donor or a regular supporter or somebody comes in with that annual gift at the end of the year every year with $1,000 or whatever it is, are there other things that we can consider when crafting direct mail to that audience specifically that might not necessarily play into somebody who's just, a $10 one-time giver?
For sure. So, kind of a maxim of direct mail, direct response, is the higher up the donor pyramid someone goes, the more personal their communication should be. If you inverse that, the lower the funnel, the lower on the funnel they are, the more personal their communications should be. So if I'm speaking to, let's just say, monthly donors and kind of more regular, higher level donors, yeah, you want your packaging to, it's got to look and feel personal. So again, it's, we're talking about this in the absence. Okay, what is our strategy? So if it's like a monsoon has just come and wiped out, and we're a village and we're trying to deliver water and emergency supplies, I'm still going to be very urgent in my communication. The packaging is going to look urgent. So regardless of my I might, again, it's because if that, when that happens, you are in a hurry, you are trying to get the mail out the door. So you're just going to be more succinct. The language is going to be more staccato in terms of how you write it. I've written letters before in all caps, because we're trying to make it look like hyper,
right?
Because it was hyper urgent, and you don't really, and even in that case, I don't even know if we versioned the copy to the different segments. We just had to get it out the door. That's more of the exception than the rule. If I am writing to, again, the concept of an annual gift is a little bit, okay, in philanthropy and in the Christian market too, in terms of, because when you talk about faith-based folks, you're talking about like a tithe. And so generally speaking, people give, those people are going to be giving every month, and they can't always give every month, but it's important to be in front of them pretty regularly, because they're going to be giving somewhere. So to just mail a letter once a year, that's not bad, but why not craft other letters throughout the year, where it might, on other, as opposed to always just going out and, the year end ask, which is kind of predictable and gets, can get lost in the shuffle. Like, why not speak to them like 4 to 6 times a year with a different, offer or project or whatever the case may be. And they might not give 6 times, but they might give 3 instead of the 1 that they would have before. So, inside all that, there's different ways you can make that packaging, from the envelope to the letter to the reply card, look and feel more personal, like it actually came from the CEO's personal printer. And really, that highest level of donor, we might even use a different size letterhead. It's going to be almost 100% lasered. It's not going to have a ton of design. Typically, the more design, the less personal something feels. So, I always get these urgent, kind of, after a natural disaster, you'll get these urgent packs that are super highly designed. And even if you can't articulate it, you still know, like, wait a minute, if this was such an emergency, why did they take so long to design this piece of mail? Yeah. So you think people, like, oh, they want to see pictures of the destruction, so we're going to send this full bleed double-sided billboard envelope with, and then there's all of this design inside. It's like, it subliminally undermines your ask. In that specific instance, you just know that it doesn't feel as urgent, because they just took a long time to actually get this particular piece of mail out the door. So I say all the time, the creative has to serve the strategy, not the other way around. Just because you think, you've heard that red envelopes have, people open red envelopes. I'm not going to use a red envelope unless it's maybe a Christmas card, or it is a literal emergency that warrants, like, me getting the brightest envelope I can possibly get to grab attention, not just because people open red envelopes. Like, it always has to, creative always serves the strategy.
That's a really great takeaway. Just that sentence in and of itself, I think, would make an impact for a lot of folks. Cause I think a lot of times it's like, okay, but I really want it to look, I want to really focus on the design, but.
Totally. I mean, it all, you know,
the strategy, then what's the point?
Yeah. It has tons of application. I mean, even to like video, it's like, a lot of times videos start with, and you got to work with what you got, but like, it's got to start with that script, and it's got to, you don't just start, again, there's all schools of thought, but I think it's important to have the words that you need first and then build from there. And the words start with the strategy.
I love that. So kind of as a wrap up title together, If there's one, what's one huge mistake that you would encourage people to avoid in direct mail as they're coming up with that strategy? If strategy is going to be the driver, then what do we want to avoid?
I would, I mean, not to be crass, a lot of people think because they can write direct mail. It's kind of like saying, I can write, so I can drop a legal contract. It just, yes, you can write, but that doesn't mean you have the expertise to drop a contract that's going to hold up under scrutinization. So I would say the biggest mistake would be to just try it on your own without any kind of advice or like professional feedback. It's just you, because you will waste your money, and then you will say direct mail doesn't work when the fact is it does if it's done right. And so I would say probably, gosh, we're just going to handle that in-house. We have they were an English major and they got time, so we're going to have them write it. We're going to have them write the letter, and then we're going to just, and even the, but a design too, like a great letter, a like great strategy, an awesome letter laid out the wrong way. With, oh gosh, I could go on and on. But if it's designed poorly, it's just not going to get read. It doesn't matter. So it's like the design is critical. So it's just, I think it's just understanding. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the most, kind of highest level way to put it. It's just to say there's people focus too much on the, think it's just all art. I'm just going to write it, and it's just going to, it should just, because I asked for it and ask for money, then they should, but the fact is there's a lot of audience. And so I think it's just like you need, and most people don't know it. I mean, it's like, what, we're not born knowing direct mail, the science of direct mail. But there are professionals, yours truly is one of them, who gets the understands that the science part has to work in tandem with the art. Otherwise, it's just not going to work.
Excellent advice. I feel the same way when people talk about social media and they're like, my son's in high school. He's on Instagram all the time. I'll just have him do stuff. Okay.
No.
That's a
Yeah. Yeah.
choice that
Yeah.
you've made.
Yes, that is a choice.
Yes. And then when your social doesn't work, we can have another discussion about it. It's fine. Yep. Absolutely. Well, Derek, thank you so much. I appreciate this conversation. I think it's
Oh,
really
sure.
important for folks
Absolutely.
to understand that it is still a viable option for donors, especially for donor development and donor communication. So, thanks for sharing your expertise with us today. Again, this
Sure
is
thing.
Derek Scott from Creator. Super excited to have you with us. Thanks so much. And we will see you next time on the Nonprofit Hub podcast.